Today is the March 15th, 2020 meeting of Hope Bible Church. Steve Hogan's message is Do Not Fear, for God is with you. If you'd like to support our sermon audio ministry, please click the Give button on our sermon audio homepage. Thank you.
Good morning. It's good to see all of you here at Hope Bible Church. Indeed, this is a unique day. You're all aware of that verse in Proverbs 16:9 that says, man plans his way and the Lord directs his steps. I don't think any of us were planning this would happen a couple weeks ago or whatever, but here we are, and God indeed is in charge. And the title for this message is The Coronavirus, Fear or Faith. And I want to do just two things this morning. First, I want to talk about some of the facts related to what's going on, because some of you aren't aware of everything. I know I follow pretty closely the news and what's happening. I want to communicate some of those things to you so you can know what's happening. And again, oftentimes fear is because of what you don't know, or you hear things that are maybe exaggerated. So I want to share with you just a few things about what's going on with the coronavirus, this country and the world. Another thing is I want to just share from God's Word. So it's about last night, about 7:30, 7:40, and I was sitting there getting ready, and I had plan A in mind. And I just, in my mind and heart, I said, I can't go. I just cannot go with plan A. I can't go with the planned message. I just can't do it. So anyway, so we're to plan B. So plan B is now plan A, and we're going to, for the second part of this time, look at a number of verses. And I was trying to find as many as I could that related to faith and to fear. So that's what we will do. First, though, I'd want to go over just a couple things that relates to this coronavirus and God's perspective and just things happening. So you can have a good understanding. Again, this is from what I've read and heard really many times over the last 2 weeks. First thing we understand is that God is sovereign over this whole thing. This pandemic is not at all an accident. It is not that which caught God by surprise. You know that he is the first cause. Isaiah 45 says, I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. So that's the first thing. God is sovereign over all this, every situation, every person in the whole world. Secondly, from our perspective, God is the answer, and we must look to him, we must trust him, which is the main real theme of the second part of this message. But we must also submit to our governing authorities and do what they want us to do. That's what God clearly tells us in Romans chapter 13. But just some additional things I wanted to share here, and here's the facts of the situation. When you think about this pandemic, you have to think about how this really is like a curve. And the progression of this is that in a particular locality or country, it starts slow, then it typically picks up speed, then it peaks, then it comes back down. That's what scientists have said. That's what really always happened. And usually it starts really slow, and then it picks up speed pretty quick, and then again, as I said, it will peak and then come back down later on. Right now in this country, there's no doubt we are in the first phase, this really slow phase. That's where we are at right now. Only 50 or so people have died. But contrast, in Italy, this last week, I think there's some days where you had 250 people dying per day. So that's where it's really going up there and it's really traveling high. But it's not that like that in our country right now. For example, back in 2009, they had the H1N1 virus, and there are a total of 13,000 people that died in this country alone. I really personally don't think it'll be nearly as bad as that with a particular virus. But right now, we're at the beginning stage. It's really slow. We don't know when it's going to pick up, and we don't know how high it's going to go, and we don't know when it's going to come down. We just don't know things. Now, people would estimate, they say, again, people with infectious diseases and have looked at this, and they say typically this should probably, in our country, it should peak maybe sometime in April, and it should be pretty much over by, let's say, middle of May, end of May. Now, we don't know for sure, but that's generally what they are saying. The goal of this country, of course, they say, is to make this curve flatten out, and the way I say it is we don't want a mountain in this country. We want a hill. We know it's going to go up. We want a hill. So that's the whole goal. That's why they have school closings and maybe they shut down the airlines and, you know, maybe work from home and social distancing and all this testing. That's why they're doing it, to flatten this curve as much as possible. That's the goal. And I think they're doing a pretty good job in the country. That's my opinion. Second thing, next thing is again, as I said before, these things last about 3 months or so. Now, the place where this started, China, and then right after that was South Korea. These places have already peaked. They're already going down. Okay, so we see, oh, that's what's happening. They've already peaked. We're not there. We're behind about probably a couple months. Here in the U.S., as you know, it started. It's going to peak sometime in April. It's again said to be over probably by May, end of May. But the efforts by the medical community, working with the government as well as with the businesses, that's the plan in this country, is to slow this down again as much as possible. Now, 3 months from now, we may look back and say, you know, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad at all. Or we may say, you know, it was a lot worse than we thought. One of those two things is going to happen, okay? The goal now is that we do whatever we can, whether it's a church or in this country, medical community, so that we can look back and say, you know, it wasn't that bad. But partly because, well, of course, God is sovereign, but partly because we did our part as individuals, as communities, families, and as a country. So that's why we're taking all this effort now. I mean, really some amazing efforts. I like sports. I follow sports since I was a kid, since I was 7 years old, 60 years. I've never, ever seen in 60 years, there's nothing going on. It's shut down. You go to ESPN, there's nothing on. And so I will tell you this, some of you don't realize this. There are some really avid sports people out there. They are sort of depressed. I mean, some of you don't realize that, especially you women. Some men, this is what they live for, the weekends, you know, and March Madness is gone, it's over, you know, no PGA tournaments coming up here, and no NBA, nothing. They're really upset, and so it's hard. They, you know, go to a sports bar, and nothing's happening, nothing on TV, and so you don't realize that, but this really does have an effect on people much more than you realize, and that's one particular sector of society. Also, I want you to know the recovery rate is now about 98%. That's really important. The people that get sick, 98% recover. In fact, I just heard this the other day. There's a person in Washington where they had a hot zone. 89-year-old lady. She got the flu. She's all better. I know many have died there, but as an example, she got the flu and she is all better. Of the 161,000 in the world that have gotten the flu so far, about 70,000 have already recovered. I say that so you know, hey, this is going to come and go. 161,000 have gotten it. Now 70,000 are already all better, have completely recovered. As you all probably heard, the elderly are more prone to get sick. The little ones, not as much. I mean, this is very much unlike the swine flu, the H1N1 back 10 years ago. There are a lot of children got sick. A lot of children died at that time. And so some are also thinking, and this makes me happy and sad, that the warmer weather is going to dampen this flu. It's going to cause it to sort of, you know, die out. And I don't like warm weather. And even the present forecast, you might have seen Delgado or somebody else last night. You've got 2 more weeks of hot weather where it's low to mid-80s. This is the one time maybe I'll say, okay, I'm really thankful for this warm weather. Maybe it'll help to dampen down the flu. I was talking to Giovanni the other day. You got Honduras, Central America. There's not as many viruses. There's not many problems down there. And I think it does relate to weather, but we will see more in the future. Why is this happening? To show that God is God. And he can do whatever he wants. He is the Lord, and he is the one who is sovereign over all things. In 3 months, it'll all be over. 4 months. And why then does God want this? First of all, it's to wake us Christians up. It's like an alarm clock, okay? That's how I look at it. It's not to produce fear in our hearts as Christians. We all understand there can be fear when things like this take place. But rather, now think about this. Think clearly about this. It's not to produce fear, but to wake us up. Again, it's like an alarm clock, okay? And God wants us to be ones who are awakened to the fact that he is sovereign, that he can do whatever he wants, that he is in charge. He can bring this world to his knees by just one little bug. He can do it, okay? And not all countries have been affected. Probably, I think, about 70-80%. I was looking at a chart last night or this morning. And most countries have. Now, for you, then, here's the alarm clock analogy. You hear the alarm clock. Some of you guys have snooze buttons. Some of you have probably pressed that snooze button, right? And you go back to sleep. The point is this, is you hear this alarm clock, this plague, this pandemic going on, don't hit the snooze button. Don't go back to sleep. I'm talking spiritually speaking. God uses these to wake us up. Now, one reason, I'll just segue this to the end times here. One reason God is doing this is because we are in the end times. We are in the last years, the closing years of this church age, whether that's 10 years or 20 or 50, we don't know. The Bible is very clear in Matthew 24, 4 through 8, Luke chapter 21, I think it's 9 through 11, about what are called these birth pains and earthquakes and wars and famines. What's there in Luke 21, verse 11, is the word plagues. It's the only time it appears in the New Testament like that. It's right there in this section about the end times. It's plagues. There will be plagues. There will be epidemics. There will be pandemics. It says they'll be taking place in various parts of the world. That is, the whole world won't necessarily be covered by these, but they'll be taking place in different areas. It says there will be great earthquakes and in various places plagues and famines. So, in fact, I had this recent post, you might have seen it. It was on the coronavirus. It came out a couple weeks ago, but I do Facebook ads. That helps to, you know, it's like an advertisement for your post. And so I did it this last 3 days. This is Wednesday night through last night. And had a record, 28,000 people viewed from about 100 different countries. And so pray for that, because it's really, I mean, you have to take advantage of situations like this. But that's very, very encouraging to see that God did this. So this flu virus then is to put fear in the hearts of the unbelievers, but rather would it be ones who have faith as we trust him, as we know the facts of the situation, we also know the facts of his word. But back to the unbelievers, it does say this. It says Hebrews 10:31. It says it is, some versions say it's a dreadful thing. Where it really translated literally, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And so for the believer, it is to be like an alarm clock to wake us up to the times we are living in. But to the unbeliever, it is to be a warning siren. Wake up, because judgment is coming. That's what it is to be for the unbeliever, because indeed it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Well, this at this present time, is there, as you know, there's no large outbreaks of the flu in this state of Florida. There is a hot zone in New York. There's a hot zone in Washington State. And so we don't know where things are at. We don't know where things are going here. So, I mean, we may not be here next week. We may not be here for the next 2 or 3. We just don't know. We don't know when this curve is going to start going up like that. And when that happens, that's when we'll probably shut down, okay? Take a break. That doesn't mean as Christians, but, you know, we'll just not be here on Sunday. So that's I guess I wanted you to know that's what we're thinking there. But I wanted just to share a couple things, what to pray for here. First of all, pray for our national leaders, our medical industry community to know what to do. Secondly, pray we slow down the rate of this virus. That's the whole thing, flatten this curve in this country. That's our desire. Third, pray for our little church to be protected, because there are some elderly here, and we are susceptible in that regard. Pray that we're not of fear but of faith. This is probably the most important thing, is that God wants us to be ones who have faith and not fear. Next, pray that we are awakened by this, that we see that Christ coming to rapture the church and judge the world is much sooner than we really realize. And pray that God uses this for the gospel. You see this many times in the New Testament, particularly with Paul, that he'd take advantage of the situation. Never lose an opportunity to share the gospel. You know, he would take advantage. Hey, let's share the gospel, tell people what they need to hear. Pray that we don't panic, that we don't let these fears keep us from doing what is good and right. And one thing I'll mention a little bit later too is oftentimes when we get afraid, it stops us. We're panicked and we just don't do anything. And that's one of the devil's objectives. And so in fearful situations, by God's grace, you keep doing what you know to do. You keep loving people. Don't think about yourself. You keep reaching out to others. You know, you might be thinking your situation, you know, how are you doing? Think of others. Pray for others. Encourage others. And then also stay in fellowship. I love the fact that in this day and age, we have phones and emails. That's my main way of, besides personal face-to-face, is communicating. And so we want to stay in touch with people no matter what happens. So if we don't have a church on Sunday, give people a call. Hey, what's happening? How you doing? Encourage them that way. As I said, we're still planning on meeting in the weeks ahead, but that could change. We just don't know future. Again, man plans his way, and the Lord directs his steps. We're planning to be here next Sunday, but I can't say what's going to happen. I just don't know what's God's going to do. So I say that now, and we will just move ahead, and whatever, we will communicate by email, by phone, however, you know, or give us a call. If you want to know what's going on, that's fine. But Bruce, Steve, or myself, and we will then talk to you. I want to do now, this is the second part of this message. I want you to look at your verses. I think you have them in your bulletin there. And there's a lot here, and not everything I say relative to fear and faith relates particularly to this COVID-19 virus, but a lot does. But it's sort of an overall picture, and who knows, if we're meeting next Sunday, I might just do a whole message on fear, approach it from some of these angles, but maybe a different angle as well. So I'm going to read through these and make a comment. That's all I'm going to do. That's the message. Read through these, make a few comments on each one, and then we'll go from there. First, Deuteronomy 31, 7 and 8, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. This is Moses talking to Joshua. This is Deuteronomy, where they're in that last year of being in the desert, just ready to go in the promised land. Moses knew that he was going to die and that Joshua would take over. So he is encouraging him, exhorting him. He said, be strong and courageous. And on one hand, you could say this is for leaders, okay? So it's paramount for leaders in the Christian community to be ones who are not afraid. Absolutely. I'm not saying they're not going to have feelings of fear, because sometimes we have feelings of fear. We've got to get past that. We have to trust God and move ahead. And that's part of what courage is keep going when even you feel fearful. But the couple thoughts here, three thoughts. One, the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. And this is personal. I mean, this is such a powerful truth. Is the Lord goes ahead of each one of you in your life. You know, oftentimes we're afraid of the unknown. Well, what's going to happen tomorrow, the next day? God's been there already, okay? He's been there. It's all planned out, ways paved. Don't worry. He goes ahead of you. The second point with that, it says then he'll be with you. He not only goes ahead of you, but he will be with you side by side. And this is probably one of the most common truths related to this high idea of not being afraid, is that he will be with you. That is the truth. Now, the Old Testament, this wasn't necessarily true, at least with some it was, well, most it wasn't, some it was, is that now the Holy Spirit is in us, and so the Lord is with us through the Holy Spirit. So you think about that. We go through life. We shouldn't be afraid. Oh, we got the Holy Spirit in us. God himself, through his Spirit, indwells each and every believer. So the final one is a promise. He will not fail you or forsake you. Again, we worry about, hey, he's going to leave me, or things aren't going to work out. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Next one, similar, Joshua 1, 7 and 9. This is God himself talking to Joshua. Moses just passed away. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and very courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And the message is repeated. And sometimes as we go through life, we can be fearful, different situations. We need to keep repeating the truth in our minds. Keep going over. So here, he hears the same thing. You see a little difference, though. What does God say? Be strong and very courageous. Now, of course, you understand the situation. Joshua was going to be the commander-in-chief. He is the leader of the people, but also the commander-in-chief of their armies. And they're going to go, and you see this in Joshua 10, 11, 12, a little bit before that, too, in Joshua 7, 8. But they were fighting the enemy, and they won, I think. He was 31-1. The one was AI, they had a little problem there, but they defeated him later. But 31-1, so it's a pretty good record. So God was with him. He was very courageous, and that's one hallmark you see of Joshua. He might have been a fearful type person, but God helped him to be courageous in spite of his fear. The next one, 2 Kings 6:15-16. I like this one. Behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city, and his servant, this is Elisha, this is Elisha's servant, said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So Elisha answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Again, a fearful situation. I mean, there's the servant of Elisha who's looking out, and he could see the armies of the enemy surround the city. Wow, this is bad news. But he was seeing things physically from his eyes. He wasn't seeing things spiritually. Elisha could see things spiritually. And, of course, we know the story, and I'm not going to read the verses following, but it talks about how all these angels were encircling them. And we don't see this spiritual dimension. Not only does the Lord go with us, the Holy Spirit is in us, but we have angels. Steve read that Psalm 91. The angels are given to us as well to help us. And so, again, this is just encouraging. God wants us to be encouraged, and this truth should encourage us. 2 Chronicles 23:17, Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout Judah. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. So here, Jehoshaphat, the leader, he was the king at that time of Judah. He was afraid. It's admitted. Okay, leaders do get afraid. He was afraid, but what did he do? And the lesson, whether it's for a leader or for any individual at all, is when we're afraid, what is the first thing you should do? Call a friend? You know? Go to the kitchen? You know? Whatever. No, you seek the Lord. The first thing you do is seek the Lord. That's what he did. But then what else does it say there? He not only sought, this is a dire situation. This is quite grave. I mean, all this, they're against them. And they were outnumbered. And so what does he do? He says he gathered all Judah, and they all sought the Lord. Okay. So that's what happens. It's that prayer phase. And there's this guy named Ahaziah, I think, or his name, in the middle of the chapter. And so we jump ahead to this last portion, verse 17. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. Do not fear or be dismayed. Go out tomorrow. Go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. So here's the answer. Now, this isn't the answer for every situation. He says, I just want you to go out there. You're not even going to have to actually fight. In some battles they had to fight. This one they didn't. I just want to go out there, get out there, see the enemy, face them, face your fears. Don't be afraid of them. Face them, and you see what I am going to do. This is an encouraging one. Again, the whole assembly, the army went forth, and they had singers and praising the way, praising before the army and all that. It was just a wonderful situation. So again, the idea, we're afraid, we seek the Lord, and we gather others then, especially if the situation is worse, and that whole idea of a national day of prayer is a good thing. It's a good thing that we take time like this, a good thing that you pray individually, we pray here collectively too. Next one, very common, you know this one. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. The same thing, the valley of the shadow of death, you know, whether it was a circumstantial thing and he was feeling afraid, and you all understand the idea of feeling afraid about something, worried about something, anxious. The valley of the shadow of death. And the same truth we saw before from Deuteronomy is that it says, I fear no evil, for you're with me. And this is what God wants us to say. We can say, I fear no evil. That it is a present tense here. I fear no evil. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid because God is with me. You know, you all know I shared this before, but the analogy, I love it because it's so simple to see. You know, a little, you know, one-year-old child is in a large gathering, and the child gets frayed, or whatever reason gets frayed. I mean, even when children, I remember this with our children when they're young, and you're in the house, and they're in another room, and they start crying because they can't see mommy or daddy. They can't see them. And so, and you've seen this. You've maybe done it yourself sometimes. You pick up that kid, and what happens? We're talking instantly goes from crying to peace. Everything's fine. And that, that's a picture. We are always with the Lord, and we should not be ones who are crying our heads off, fearful as can be, because he's holding us. He's with us. I mean, there's really no need, and it's by faith believing this. It's by faith knowing this truth. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? Here's David, and we know this. We go back to the 1 Samuel 17, the story of David and Goliath. He's a young kid. He was fearless. But it wasn't just because he was cocky. You know, he had courage because he was trusting in God. He had that one verse there that says, who is this? I think he says to Goliath, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You just think how he said that. Who are you that you're defying the armies of the living God? And so that's the kind of courage that God wants us to have. You know, and if we're weak in faith, if we tend to be ones who fear, God wants us to grow and change and become more and more strong and courageous. Psalm 34:4, again, a similar truth we saw. I sought the Lord, he answered me, delivered me from all my fears. Again, we're going to take some truths away from this time. Seek the Lord. And I think you know this, but when it says seek the Lord, it doesn't mean just have a 20-second prayer. You know, we talk about, you know, you wash your hands for 20 seconds. I think that's 20 seconds, okay? Do more than a 20-second prayer, okay? Wash your hands along with 20 seconds is fine, but seek the Lord. And for some people, there are fears that are really ingrained that for years, and you need to get with God, maybe even fast and pray. Take 10 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour. Seek the Lord. Say, God, help me. Deliver me from these fears. And you know what the verse says there? He said, delivered me from how many of my fears? All of them. All of my fears. Again, we're all given fear. This is one of the most common problems, and it's right in the top two or three in the whole all of history that a person has is that they're fearful. And the one thing about fears is you can't see. You can't always. I mean, sometimes you can see symptomatically that they're afraid by how they hold themselves or talk or they're nervous or jittery or something. But oftentimes you can't tell. But it's in our hearts. And our people are pretty good at covering it. You know that. You all covered fears and you just sort of cover it up. But we have these fears. And even the ones that people can't see, God can deliver you and wants to deliver you from everyone. I mean, you are his child. That's what he wants to do. He is your father. He doesn't want you to be afraid of anyone or anything. And here then is the answer. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. And this is very important to understand. This is a truth. We'll expand this a little bit here in these other verses, but to see this. Now, the situation was, it says the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. Earth should change. It's like there's earthquakes. And in that chapter, there's two things that take place that are calamitous. One is the earthquakes, and also then you had the wars. There's wars and earthquakes, which is the same thing as birth pains. I really think this chapter relates to the birth pains of Matthew 24:4-8. Hey, these things are going to happen. But what's he say? He is our refuge. That is a place of refuge, a place of safety, and our strength. A very present help in trouble. And the one for Berkeley, he says God is abundantly available for help in tight places. I like that. So when things are difficult, when things are fear-producing, look to the Lord. But the last verse, not the last, the second last verse, but you need to see this. It says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. Your version might say, cease striving. Similar thought. And the thought is, don't worry. Be still. See, here's the thing. I shouldn't say this, but it's the truth. As we think about the end times, things are going to get a lot worse. We are in, as it says in Matthew 24:8, the beginning of birth pains. The first stage, not the ending one. Man, the baby's coming really soon. Beginning. It's going to get a lot worse. We got to get through this because God wants us, part of what's going on here is God wants to teach you to have faith through this present situation here. Let's learn now because it's going to get worse. And I'm trying to scare you. I'm just telling you the truth. You got to learn to trust God today and tomorrow because what happens when these famines and these wars and these earthquakes and these plagues keep increasing like the birth pains of a mother, both in intensity and frequency? So might we learn this? And the whole nation of Christians needs to learn this. We're not afraid, scaredy cats is a little term. The point here I want to say is this. Be still and know that I'm God. When a person is fearful, and you could take the word selfish, a fearful person on one hand is also selfish. I'm saying one, not completely so, but to some degree. He's thinking about himself. He's thinking about his situation. He's focused on his circumstances. He's not thinking about the Lord. He's not thinking about other people. And what God says here, one of the answers is, hey, get your eyes off yourself. You be still and know that I'm God. And the main thing in life is what? That God is exalted. That God's glorified. God's going to get glory. Might you see, that's one of the reasons he is doing this, that we get our eyes off ourselves and give glory to him. Stop being afraid. Get your minds in the big picture. That's what he wants. We're thinking about ourselves. We're all in our own little world, all caught up. What's going on here? And afraid of this and that. And we have to learn to trust God in the little things and get our mind then on the big things. And we'll see that some other verses later. We continue. Psalm 56:4. In God whose word I praise, in God I put my trust, I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? Three thoughts here. When you're afraid, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, there's four thoughts, and I'm going to go over them briefly. Worship God. Praise him. Sing songs. Very important. That might be all the antidote you need. But then it says, with that, trust in the Lord. Again, we talk about seeking the Lord. Seeking the Lord does no good if you don't trust the Lord. You say, God, I'm going to trust you. Okay, here you are feeling fearful about something. Maybe small, maybe big, whatever it is. Say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. And I know these fears will come back. And sometimes that happens. You trust them and you're going good for half a day or a day. And then the next day, more fears, same kind of fear. Oh, it comes again. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to keep trusting you until God really helps you to get a breakthrough in that area. It says, I shall not be afraid. That's future, right? So today you say, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid today, tomorrow, or the rest of my life. I'm not going to be. And I know we will be afraid. That we're not perfect, of course. But that idea of in our hearts and minds being determined, I shall not be afraid by things that come up. I'm not going to be given away. I'm not going to be given into fear. I'm not going to do it. That kind of spirit determines. Not again because it's us, because it's in ourselves to have that kind of attitude or strength. It's from God because we're trusting him. Then the last part, what can mere man do to me? And Proverbs, I can't remember exactly, says the fear of man brings a snare. And we're not to fear men, we're to fear God. And oftentimes people's fears, and for some people this is a really big one, is they're afraid of what other people can do to them. Don't fear man, rather fear God. Psalm 112, it is well with a man who is gracious and lends. He'll maintain his cause in judgment, for he'll never be shaken. The righteous will be remembered forever. He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Some of the same things, but something I want you to see here, and this relates to what we said before, is when you're fearful, again, one of the antidotes is get your mind off yourself and start thinking about others. Call somebody else up. Encourage them. See how they're doing. And it says here, he is one who is gracious and lends. He is gracious. And so be a giver. Not be thinking of how others can help you. You be thinking about how you can help others. You be praying for others. You be giving to others. That's what God wants you to do. It says he'll not fear evil tidings. As I said before, things will get worse. There will be evil in the days ahead. But again, you trust God. God isn't the kind he's going to pour bad problems every day of your life for the rest of it. That isn't the way it works. But there will be some days that are worse. There will be some evil more evil than some days than others. The point is this, in your heart and mind, I'm not going to be afraid when there's more bad news sometime. So some people think this way, okay? You know, it's not so bad here in Florida. Not that many. In fact, I was looking in the news on this, and everybody, so many people in Florida got it because they were traveling overseas. They're in Europe someplace. They contacted and they came back here. So it's not so bad. So a person can say, a Christian can say, well, you know, I'm not going to be afraid. It's not so bad here. Okay, Christian, in 2 weeks when it's really bad here, if it gets really bad, you can say the same thing. That is, they go circumstantially. It's no big deal here. I'm not afraid. What happens if it spikes? Can you say the same thing? No matter what the evil tidings may be, God wants you, I'm going to trust him, no matter how bad it gets. It isn't so bad now. It really isn't. It's just sort of a minor thing here. So, not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting the Lord. Again, steadfast is so good. Part of what God is doing in this is learning you, in all situations this happens, in all of life and all of trials, is that God wants you to learn to walk closely with him. And so you're in this particular situation. This is a trial of sorts for all of us here. We're learning to walk with him steadfast. That is day-by-day walk, a continual walk, this relationship with God, experiencing this eternal life that God gives us. That's what he wants. That's the most important thing, walking with the Lord. Psalm 118:6, the Lord is for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I like that. The Lord's for me. He's committed to me. You know, we're his children. He doesn't want us to be afraid. Just like if you're a mother and you pick up a little child, you don't want your child to be crying. You don't like that. You pick them up right away. I mean, most people do. You pick them up. You're for your children. God is for us. God is committed to us and wants our best. Isaiah 26:3, it doesn't have the word fear in here, but it relates. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. The steadfast of mind, the point I want to say here is that we're talking about seeking the Lord, we're talking about trusting the Lord, but what's essential is the strength and the maturity of a Christian. It relates to his knowledge and understanding of God himself. So when it says steadfast of mind, that means in your mind you're thinking, what is God like? God is powerful. God is sovereign. God is loving. God is with me. God is for me. All these truths then will help you then not to have fear. The steadfast of mind then is one who's thinking rightly. And what's it say there? I mean, the amazing. Perfect peace. Again, we know that's not going to really happen here. But there are times when you will experience perfect peace in your soul. You'll never have perfect peace all the time from here to the time you go to be with the Lord. But there will be times perfect peace because you're trusting the Lord. You're steadfast of mind. You know who the Lord is. You know what he's like, and you're trusting him. Isaiah 41:10, another big verse on this fear. Do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I'll help you. I will hold you, uphold you with my righteous right hand. Again, we see this. Again, we know this here. But that do not fear is what? An imperative. It's a command. He's telling us, do not fear. And sometimes I would say this to you, that you're in a situation that's difficult. In your mind, in your spirit, you need to sense God is talking to you personally. He says, do not fear. Do not. He is telling you not to be afraid. And sometimes he does it sternly so, because you're just fearing. He says, don't do that. Do not fear. I am with you. Again, we've heard that. Do not anxiously look about you. Don't look at all your circumstances. Look to the Lord. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you, uphold you. Three verbs there, strengthen, help, and uphold. Again, the promises, the encouragement from God himself. Matthew 6, this theme relates to the one from before about how we are to be thinking of God and his overall purposes. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you shall eat and drink. Look at the birds of the air, and that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We talk about fear. Fear's sisters are worry and anxiety. They're very, very similar. Hey, you're worried about these things, and here's about what you shall eat and drink or what you shall wear. And some of you may, I didn't. I said, I'm just staying away from the stores. We got enough food. We're fine. Enough toilet. We're fine. I'm not going near a store till maybe middle of the next week. I don't like crowds. But, man, the panic. I mean, yesterday at Sam's up where I live, you know, they had to close the door. People come to the door. Well, you can't get in. It's too crowded. Fire marshal says no more people here. I mean, you know this. It's panics. Wow. And most people, I mean, I have to say that, golly, most people in this country have plenty of food. I mean, they really do. We shouldn't worry about it. God will take care of it. That's the point here. Remember I talked a couple weeks ago about the master and the slave. The slave didn't need to worry about his food or clothing. He just did what the master said, and the master would take care of him. So don't worry about it. But what should you do? What does it say here? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Again, the idea is getting your eyes off yourself and what you need or what you think you need or what you want. Get your eyes in the Lord and the bigger purpose and use this for the sake of the gospel. One thing I was going to share is that this is from Philippians chapter 1 about Paul. He was in jail, and you know what happened. He says, man, what a great opportunity to share the gospel. I got a captive audience, literally a captive audience. They're all right there. He shared the gospel. People got saved. I mean, he wasn't thinking about himself. I mean, he's in chains, and who knows, the rats are running around his feet, and the food is absolutely terrible, you know, but he wasn't thinking about himself. When am I going to get a good meal? He was trusting God, sharing the gospel, had his mind on the bigger picture. So you have to understand this big picture. God wants to use this situation with the gospel, and who knows what people you'll run into in the week ahead, 2 weeks ahead, month ahead, or whatever. Be ready to share the gospel. Trust God. He's the one that's the main thing, not what you're going to eat or drink. Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and the promise, and as all these other things will be added unto you. Mark 4:40, you know the story. This is when Jesus was out there and he was sleeping in the boat and they're going across from one side to another, you know, and the big storm comes up, the wind and the rain, and the disciples are freaking out, you know, there it is, whoa, what's going on? And he's sleeping. I love the picture because it's the kind of thing, you know, when you're in the storm, you need to be resting, trusting God. But so he gets up and you know what happens. He immediately calms the storm. He's in charge of all weather, all rain, all calamities, everything. We can trust him. But the point is they were afraid. And it really clearly, you see, it connects. If you have fear, it's very likely because you don't have the faith God wants you to have. Not say you don't have faith at all, but God wants to increase your faith and wants you to look to trust him. Luke 1:30, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. She just heard from the angel that she was to be the mother of Jesus. And there's probably a little bit of fear because she knew what the angel was saying. She says, wow. She understood the Old Testament, the prophecies about the Messiah to come, and he'd be a baby. And I'm sure many Jewish women think, when am I going to be the mother? Well, here she was. And one of the first things he says is what? Again, the simple command, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, for you have found favor with God. That is, God has plans for you. So again, I want you to connect this idea that don't be afraid, because sometimes, again, what the devil wants to do is to sort of slow you down, to silence you from doing what God wants you to do in terms of his purpose for your life by causing you to be afraid. And you just sit there and you're still and you're frozen. You can't do what God wants you to do. So next one. Man, this time is running. I'm going to skip some here. I'm going to go quickly. I didn't know going this long. Anyway, Luke 12:4. I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more they can do. I warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he is killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. I was talking to somebody in this congregation here this past week. He says, I'm not afraid. You know, worst thing that happens, I die, go to heaven. And we need to have that picture. So what? We need to say, if I die, I go to heaven, and that's a much better thing than being here on earth. It's okay, just a simple thing there. Luke 12:29, same thought as Matthew chapter 6. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Again, God wants to give you peace, and it says there in that verse, my peace. This peace is not what you can work up in your own self. It's not your own feelings, your own strength, your own heart. It's what the peace of God. It is a spiritual and supernatural thing we're talking about here when we talk about this peace that God wants to give you. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Again, the idea, don't be anxious for anything. Anything. Again, you seek God, you pray. But with that, one thing to note, it says, with thanksgiving. Part of thanksgiving relates to looking at the past to see how God has come through for you in the past. So you thank him for what he's done for you in the past. You say, man, he's come through for me in the past. He'll come through for me again. So when you pray, you be thankful as you pray. You seek him, and he then wants to give you peace, and that the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension. So much so people look at you and say, what happened to this person? Well, it's God infusing you with his wonderful peace. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and discipline. Hebrews 10:31, I mentioned before, it is a terrifying thing or a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. This is what unbelievers should be afraid of. This is the number one thing. The number one thing. They can be afraid of this pandemic and this and that and everything else, but the most fearful thing is to be an unsaved person and to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 13, he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that when we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Again, that thought, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to learn by God's grace to not be a fearful person. Because some people are that way. I mean, some people are really, really prone to fear, and they're afraid every day. And God wants us to not be that kind of person, but to be ones who are strong and courageous, trusting in him. 1 Peter 3, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. You remember, you know, FDR said, you know, the only thing to fear is fear itself. And don't be afraid of anything that is frightening. Don't. You know, and it says in another version, don't give in to fear. All of you know this. You're going along and all of a sudden you're starting to feel fearful. It can come up so fast. Don't give in. Seek the Lord. Trust the Lord. Think of some of these truths. Some of these promises, God is with you, and he will give you the peace. 1 Peter 5:6-7, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Part of this is being humble, okay? Again, a person who is not fearful by God's grace is humble, admitting, God, I can't in my own strength help my nerves to calm down. I'm nervous. I'm a nervous wreck. I can't do it. Say, God, I look to you. And then that truth there, casting all your anxiety. You've heard that old phrase, you know, it's like, you know, the fisherman's casting out the bait, you know. Don't reel them back in. Cast it out and leave it there. Cast it out and leave it there. And as it says in that last thought there, he cares for you, and God cares for each one of us here much, much more than we could ever realize. Please understand that. A loving Father wants to hold you and take care of you and keep you safe and use you for his purposes. And so just realize that truth, because it is true. You don't always feel it, which is hard because we are such emotional beings, and emotions are good and are relevant in this whole area of fear as well in different ways. But to know that God wants to care for you and does care for you and will care for you, and he will keep you safe and protected and then use you for his purposes. This time, let's have Steve and Bruce come up. We'll have our little time of prayer here. Three of us will pray, and then Bruce will have the announcements. I'll start here, then you guys can go. One of you can finish. Dear Father, we come to you this morning, this afternoon. Thank you, Lord, for this time to look to you and to hear truth, Lord, both what's actually happening out there in the world relative to this coronavirus, but also, Lord, the truth of your word. And we need to live by truth of your word, the facts, what you say. That's so, so important. I ask you, God, for each and every one in this room, that you'd help us in general to become more and more, not as fearful, less and less fearful, that is, but to be ones who are more strong in you and trusting you and seeking you, resting in you, Lord, just experiencing your supernatural peace. It's this peace that surpasses all comprehension. But thank you, Lord, for the situation that's taking place in this world. I pray that you would be using this for your purposes and glory all over the world, God, in countries, all the countries. Lord, do pray for our leaders, help them to know what to do, whether it's in the government, the medical community, business as well. Just give them wisdom and to work together to help us as a country to get through this. We ask you for that. But again, help us here as a church. Pray that you protect each and every one of us, Lord, physically speaking. But again, and really more so, more important than the physical is the spiritual, that we be strong in faith. And you'd help us to grow as we, in this situation now, other things will come up in the future. But Lord, we thank you for this present situation and lead us as a church what we should do. Personally, individually, families, Lord, in the weeks and the months ahead, Lord, and just lead us, Lord, again in all this, and we pray this for your glory in Jesus' name.
Father, we are thankful that you have allowed us to have a president who has recognized the power of prayer and allowed us to be able to show our faith and ask you to intervene on our behalf. Again, it is an amazing thing that you've done. You are in control of this entire situation, so I pray that you would continue to lead and guide, that you, O God, would show yourself to be a saving God, that as Christians are strong and courageous as we speak forth truth as the opportunity is presented, that as those that we encounter that have fears, fear for their very life, that you would allow us to share with them about eternal life, to give them confidence that there is a God who saves, that you would help us to make the most of the opportunity and of every opportunity. We do pray for those who are administering care to the sick, to the professionals that are out there, that you would continue to protect them, that you would have them to be ones who learn to lean on you as well, to know and even see as they are ministering to others that it's not by their own power that they're able to do it, that they would come to the end of themselves and have to reach out and call to you. I pray that you would do that during this time. And we do continue to pray that you would protect those in our congregation that do have compromised health situations, that you would allow them by your mercy to not get sick, and help us to know, too, each of us individually, how best to minister to one another as the body of Christ and as this local body, this family into which you have placed us. I do thank you so much for the love and the care and the concern that you have given us for one another. I pray that it would grow stronger all the more as we're together during this time, and that you would allow this crisis then to draw us closer to you and to one another. In Jesus' name.
Lord, just thank you for reminding us of your awesome power and sovereignty through this situation, Lord. If we thought a week or a couple weeks ago and would not have been towards this, but you are working all things together, and we praise you for that. I pray for our missionaries, Lord, that you would protect them as they are in other countries, not knowing their specific situations, but keep them safe, Lord. We pray for Pam Apiza specifically with her immune system down, Lord, that you would have mercy on her and Frank as her helper, Lord, to keep them both well and encouraged, Lord, and being lights as we've talked today about ourselves as we are in communities and people are looking for answers. We thank you for that. Just help us to be those lights. Give us the right words, the right actions to do so, Lord. We pray for our families, neighbors, coworkers, and yes, as others said earlier, for our saints here, especially those compromised, Lord, weak situations, that you would strengthen them, protect them, Lord. But thank you for faith as we finish in our prayers. Just strengthen us, help us, as Steve said, not to be fearful, Lord. With all this is going on, help us to march on, to be good soldiers for Christ. In Christ's name, amen.